it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 307. Happy Tuesday. We're going to do Think Tank today. We had a really good Think Tank set up, and one of our members got sick. So it was just us until the end of the show.
DGS time.
Get what you get, you don't throw a fit.
DGSGD.
What are we going to talk about?
Nothing.
Hmm.
Make sure you're with us on Thursday. It's our 25th anniversary show. We have a lot of friends from the old days. Tom Turbrock and Katie Cruz and Mark Close are all going to be here. It should be a lot of fun.
Very nice. I'm looking forward to that a lot. That's going to be a very fun day.
Me too. It'll be fun. Let's do DGS Happy Hour.
All right.
Anyone want to start?
I got one if you want to start with this thing that we've kind of talked about before.
Okay.
But I saw, I think it was a TikTok from a woman probably in her 20s, and she was just going on about how she wishes she had been born in the early 70s. And
that, I saw that.
That meant that, you know, in the 80s you had all of this stuff, 90s, no phones. Basically, here were the things that she highlighted. Growing up in that time, so you're a kid in the 80s, you have a lot more freedom than kids do now. You have the ability to go more places. You're not tied down by phones. There's a lot less pressure in the world. It's not, you know, nonstop just being berated by what's happening all around the world around you. Goes into the 90s, how you're a young adult. It's a great time to be a young adult. Again, you're not tied down by a cell phone. You might have, you know, a flip phone or a pager by the end of the decade, but really, you know, you're kind of off on your own, and you know you're doing things because you have more knowledge, right? You're navigating because you know where to go. You're not waiting for a phone to tell you. You kind of know because you had to learn. You had to learn where everything was. You had to read maps and do all that stuff. So I think you and I agree. I know Rach and Andrew, you guys didn't live that, but what's the best part of that? Was the best part not being attached to a phone? In other words, you are just where you are, and that's it. And you know, I always get people that'll ask, like, you know, my kid will ask, how'd you guys ever meet up? Like you just said, we're going to be at this place at a certain time and won't you be there? Or you get there at least somewhere near that time. And you know, if somebody's not there, you give them 10, 15, 20 minutes or whatever. And if they're not there by then, well then too bad, you're on your own. But it was a lot more about planning and responsibility. And you know, you've got to do what you say you're going to do and be where you say you're going to be. Otherwise you're going to get left behind. Mm-hmm. And that was how it was with your parents, right? You'd go to the mall and they'll say, all right, we're leaving at 4:00. Better be here. Or you're at Six Flags. Hey, we're going to meet at 3:00 to head home. So, you know, you better be at the entrance or you're in big trouble or whatever. There was more responsibility, which was, and I think, a good thing. But what's the most appealing part to that time if you're talking about living it as an adult? Because she's talking about living it as a kid. Take it to where you're now in your 30s, 40s, 50s, but you're living in that time period. You're not attached to your phone. Work is not going to be bothering you when you're not at work. You don't have the internet. You don't have a computer at home to do your work from home. It doesn't exist. Now, that doesn't mean that every job didn't come. Like, you know, if you're a lawyer, you're probably bringing documents home. You're bringing boxes of crap.
Yeah.
But it's not the same expectation now like it is now where you're always connected. Is that the best part?
Not to be all whatever, and this is maybe going away from the point you're trying to make, but I think the best part of that era being an adult was the lack of everyone hating each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't stress enough how much of the pressure cooker was turned down because everyone just lived their lives. There were people you liked and people you didn't like,
yep.
But you just navigated that. But there was nothing that I remember, like it is today, where you felt the need to declare your team, and that really took a lot of pressure off. Because then you were, I feel like today we're not really allowed to live a free life in many ways, and back then you were.
I think, okay, maybe this is like a bummer of an answer. I think the best part probably was not being connected all the time and having that ability to unplug. But it's like, was everyone enjoying that while it was happening? Like, did you go home at night and go like, this is so great, I don't have to talk to anybody?
Oh, someone would have shown us an iPhone. Well, see, we'd been like, yeah,
that's
God.
What I'm
right.
saying.
Well, I brought this up with Susan yesterday because I thought it was interesting just because I knew I wanted to bring it up here. And she mentioned that she's super happy that she went to college when she did, because if she had had a smartphone, she might not have left the dorm for the first part of freshman year because she missed home and, you know, you didn't know as many people. And I bet that that time was tougher if you were an introvert. If you were somebody that didn't really need or want to go places, but you wanted some connection, you have that now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, it probably depends on your personality and all of, like, there may be things now you're like, I would not want to have to always leave the house where to connect with anybody, right? Because if you didn't, if you were not out of the house, you weren't talking to your friends. I mean, yeah, you'd have a phone call here and there, but it's not like now where you can have an ongoing text conversation over multiple days, just keep on going, or, you know, a live chat where you can look at the person and talk to them the way that you can now. No Zoom calls with grandparents, you know, none of that stuff. I think Dave, what you said is probably the best part, is that it was just a chill time. Nobody was immediately written off because of a bumper sticker on their car or because of the campaign sign on their lawn. I honestly don't even remember campaign signs on lawns. I don't know that I remember that at all from my childhood. Maybe it wasn't a thing. Do you remember it?
What I don't remember is I don't remember outside of my mom and dad having political discussions. They are both pretty political. They're staunch Union Democrats. I don't remember in mixed company ever hearing a political conversation.
Yeah, I don't either. Again, I was a kid, but even in the 90s, I was in college. There was nothing political on campus.
Yeah.
Nothing. The most political thing were like the three guys who were there advocating for legalizing pot.
Yeah.
Like that was it. And it was like three dudes.
Yeah, you had four people in the Young Republicans. Then you had a bunch of wannabe hippie 60 people.
I wasn't even aware of those existence of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Rach, what do you got?
I have really bad news. Alec Baldwin and his brother Stephen Baldwin got into a car accident.
No.
These guys are just constant friggin' drama.
Yeah, right?
I saw this morning. Like, all of a sudden, Alec Baldwin's baggy eyes are on my TikTok talking about a trash truck ran him off the road. And next thing you know, there's a video of it. I'm like, what is...
Well, yeah. Okay, so Alec Baldwin rammed his car, well, I guess it was his wife Hilaria's car, head on into a tree in the Hamptons.
Mio Dios.
He and Steven were like leaving a film festival or something, and he claims, I was being cut off by a garbage truck and I had no choice but to, you know, turn the wheel, and suddenly I'm colliding with a tree. But then, like you said, Dave, they released the video. Newsmax released some video, and they're saying that contradicts Alec Baldwin's statement.
First of all, how fast are you
going
if you have to do
that? Didn't actually cut him off. The garbage truck rolled through a stop before making a turn, giving Baldwin little time to slow down. Okay. But still, it's the kind of thing, it's like, I can't believe just the amount, like you said, the amount of drama that is constantly happening.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I better make a video and make a statement because everyone's going to be worried. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that just feeds into the drama more.
Can I tell you something?
They love it.
Maybe this says something bad about me. I don't know. But if I shot someone to death, whether I meant to do it or it was just an accident, I would be laying so low.
I agree. I would do the same thing, Dave.
Just in life.
I think most people would be like, you know what? Maybe I'll take a couple of innings off from like being on social media or making a new reality show or whatever else.
If I got in an accident, the last thing I would do is make a TikTok about it. They'd be like, oh, there's the guy that shot that lady.
Maybe he wanted to distract because we're so close to the anniversary of the famous Starbucks tweet.
What was that?
This is like almost 10 years ago, I think, he tweeted. It was like a couple days ago was the anniversary of it. But he tweeted, Starbucks on 93 and Broadway. Uptight queen barista named Jay has an attitude problem.
Mm-hmm. And tell him, Alec.
People love to bring that up every time he's mentioned, just because that's a very funny and stupid thing to tweet when you're like a millionaire.
That's funny.
Very powerful in Hollywood. you tweet
mean tweets about baristas.
Mean bitchy tweets about baristas.
I got a quick one. Joe Manchin was the former senator was being interviewed over the weekend on the Sunday shows. And the guy who was interviewing was just so effusive and just loves him, some Joe Manchin. He's like, tell the story about your boat. And so Manchin starts saying, I guess he has some giant yacht. I guess he's rich like every other senator. And he said, well, we used to invite members of the Senate to come out on my boat. And for I would invite five Republicans, for example, but you couldn't come unless you brought a Democrat. Okay, so far I'm fine. So we would get together and have a good time on the boat. And he said the first thing we would do is we would get into a group hug and play Lee Greenwood, USA.
God bless the USA.
God bless the USA.
People in Lee Greenwood.
Well, that's the thing. I don't want to just go off on Lee. Because like Dave pointed out the other day, he's just working it. He's just trying to make some royalties off that song.
I say let him have it.
But if I came to one of your things and there was a group hug and you played Foreigner, I don't care what it is. At that point, I'm like looking. It's like, that's weird. And I hate to judge, but it's just like, I'm judging. It's a little weird.
Well, my happy hour was going to be a suggestion that we start every show with a group hug and play now, some Foreigner.
I have to say, the
some
hugging,
double vision.
You guys know me. I'm a hugger. That's the least of my problems. Doing it to music, I don't care what the music. You're just weird.
Yeah.
What if it was Metallica?
Even weirder. Plus, do you do it for the whole friggin' song?
I don't know. Yeah.
Do you just stand there for 3.5 minutes?
Like, right. It's one thing. Everybody just stands quietly like the national anthem.
Getting weird.
I feel you, Dave. I'm not the biggest joiner in the world, so kind of no matter what the activity was, I would be side-eyeing it. In some respect, like, wait, I have to do this in order to be on the boat, and I'm the weirdo if I don't want to do it.
Right, like, what if I want to go on the boat and hang out and, you know, maybe cut some deals with people and see the other side the way they see it,
so,
and I don't want to do a group hug.
So he said he would invite 10 people, right? Five of each, and they had to bring someone else, like, from the other party. So you're inviting 10 people. How big is your boat?
Really big.
You could bring 10, 15 people on your boat. That's a big boat.
How do you make all that money?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe we should. Maybe rich people shouldn't be in charge.
Maybe.
It's almost like they care more about rich people.
My boss says I never tease things. So coming up next, I have a commercial I think is woke. So we can fight over that.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 323. Okay, we might fight about this one. I hope not. We talk a lot. We don't talk a lot about woke, but the world talks a lot about woke. And every time we bring it up, I think we mostly agree that we don't all agree on what that means. But here's my example of it. So Mick Ultra has really leaned into sports advertising, right? It's always people are playing pickup basketball and that kind of stuff. Cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So last night, there was a Mick Ultra ad, and it's a man and a woman playing golf. And the man says to the woman, I'll bet you Mick Ultra who can get closest to the pin. Well, what do you think happened? Give you three guesses. The woman aces it and puts it next to the pin.
The woman did it.
I have zero problem with this. Most women could beat me in golf. What I do have a bit of a problem with is, you know that there's not a company or an ad agency in America right now that has the balls to have the man win that. It would never happen. Now, it may happen again, but I bet it's going to be a long time. I mean, can you imagine them doing that ad and the man says, bet you an ultra, and then he aces it and she has to buy him a beer, I can't.
So, counterpoint. If the man wins, it's not a commercial. I feel like these sort of commercials, I'm sorry, I have a beard hair in my mouth, I'm so sorry. So I was going to be talking, I was going to be doing a whole time talking like this.
That was almost a, I was thinking about something else.
Trying to negotiate that out of my mouth until I just did it.
The pasta you brought us about an hour ago, Rach and I are both a little sick. And that didn't help. The beard in your mouth, the beard and hair in your mouth thing.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, that's there wouldn't be a commercial if they didn't have
that.
It's
not ironic.
Yes. So they've been doing commercials like that for, as long as I've been alive.
Isn't
it's like a
that
goofy...
sexist? That the very fact that it's built on irony because a woman's not going to beat a man?
That's... Not that a woman's not going to beat a man, but it's about subverting expectations. The expectation is when you see a man and a woman golfing together, the expectation is that the man's probably better because traditionally and stereotypically, golfing is like a guy sport. So the guy is going to, you know, swagger around and go, I bet you I can hit that better than you. And then the woman beats him and it's a funny, like, ironic, deprecating thing.
I get it.
Yeah.
I understand why it works.
I feel like if I saw a commercial where the exact setup is that and then the guy just hits it really well and it goes in and the woman's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll buy you a beer now. I'd be like, what the hell was that?
What's interesting, though, is that when I was a kid, typically the wife was the idiot.
Right.
You know, Edith Bunker.
I love Lucy.
Daddy knows best. The Huxtables, the whole thing. And then Homer Simpson came along. And since then, it's pretty much been, and look, this isn't.
Wait a minute. Between Archie and Edith, Edith was the idiot?
Well,
Yeah. No, she was considered kind of a bird brain.
Yeah, flighty and bird brained and stuff like that. What I'm saying is that was a trope.
Yes.
And everyone just went, okay.
It was pretty much the thing.
And now it seems like it's the opposite.
It is. And that's why it's the opposite, because forever it was the other way.
It reminds me, do you guys remember the Michael Jordan Mia Hamm Gatorade commercial? Yeah. Where it's like, anything you can do. I mean, to me, it just kind of plays into that. It's, as Andrew was describing, and as you acknowledged, Dave, like, it's a fun tension. I get where you're coming from. I wouldn't ascribe like wokeness or like, oh, I'm afraid to let the woman win in this case to this commercial that you've described necessarily. I just think it plays into the whole like, hey, we're both competing. We're both competitive. Yeah, he's the one who challenged her. So it makes sense for the plot that she would win.
I think it can be both. I think it can be the clever way to do a commercial, and it can also be out of
if it was
wussiness.
The same commercial, but it was like a female-dominated field, and then the guy beat the woman, would you think that was woke? Like, if it was like, we're at
like
a beauty
volleyball.
Salon, I can do these highlights better than you can, lady, or something like that. You know
what
I'm saying?
I'm not sure. I have to think about that.
But that would be like another commercial, I feel like. It would be like a manly man, and it would be a traditionally feminine activity. And then the guy would,
I didn't even know.
Prune the flowers way better than the woman
or
whatever.
I didn't even
know
that we could do stereotypes anymore. That like, oh, we're baking cakes. The woman's going to win this one. Like, I didn't think you could even say stuff like that.
Well, is it similar at all to the, because it's also the McLite commercial where it's Willem Dafoe and Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah.
So you've got two 70-somethings out there whipping the crap out of younger people. If you flip that, well, who cares? If it's a younger group beating up on, older players on the pickleball court.
It'd be a more interesting commercial.
No, but I'm saying it's like that. But the funny part is, I don't know. I mean, is there any difference between them? Aren't they both doing the same thing?
The humor comes from the subversion of expectations, and the
atypical winner winning, essentially.
I get it, but I still say that the people putting them out and companies would never do something the way I'm saying. Welcome back, guys. DGS, be with us Thursday, 25th anniversary of the DGS. Lots of old friends coming in to celebrate with us. and then keep Black Friday open. The Dave Glover Band is going to be playing, I believe, at a place in St. Peter's. I'll let you know when we make the deal. And going to do like a matinee, maybe 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., bring another band along with us and just have a 25th anniversary celebration the day after Thanksgiving. So we hope you'll join us for that. From the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Desk, Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Good times.
Yeah, I wish you could come in for one of those. 25 years together.
50 years. 50 years will do it.
There you go.
I don't know where we'll be. I have a feeling where I'll be.
Well, if your dad's an indication, I know what you'll be doing.
Yeah, you'll be out there working the street.
Easy. Wow.
The words came out wrong.
Yes, they did.
Work in the hallways. Work in the hallways.
That's not better. Yeah. Dave, you're going to be a 95-year-old male
gigolo.
Prostitute.
Yeah.
It's a real niche market.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe.
Hey.
We really don't know how popular
it
will
be. If I make it to 95 and that's my job, I'm going to be pretty happy.
Yeah, and you just keep digging up.
Yeah. I'm not going to make it to 95 anyway.
I told you my stomach's upset.
Yeah.
Oh, man. How many years are you now, Dave, in show business?
I'm pushing 50.
Wow.
Pushing 50 right now. I retired. Yeah, what? Let's see if we can figure it out. I retired at 42 years, and that was 7 years ago. So, yeah, 49. 49 years now.
You going to do anything? Are you an anniversary kind of guy?
No.
He does not.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness and grateful and happy and that it all worked out.
Yeah, I'm the same.
We'll cancel all this.
On television to do weather for 42 years on television. Is almost unheard of.
Yeah, is anyone
almost unheard
anyone beaten that?
I'm sure there's a couple of people across the nation, but not very many.
Yeah.
Not very many.
Probably one who's in a major market and then national like you were.
No, because you start to make a lot of money and then you become a liability.
Yeah. I know how that is.
And you know, I feel bad for the younger kids.
Uh-huh.
Male or female now, who the chances of that happening are like zero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Zero. Just because all these media companies are absorbing into each other and they are going to tell you exactly what to do, how you're going to do it, and how much you're going to get paid. And when you go into contract negotiations, they're going to go, no, this is what we're going to pay you.
By the
Take
way,
it or leave it.
You're writing, editing, shooting your stories yourself.
Oh man, yeah. The reporters now are, it's a different world, period. It's just a different
so
world.
Obviously local television at least has made the decision that talent is less important than it used to be. Do you know why they made that
Absolutely.
Decision?
No. I think they just feel that I remember I don't know how many years ago it was, but I had a news director tell me that reporters are worthless.
Wow.
Just worthless. We can plug one in. One wants to leave because they're not happy. Fine. Let them leave. We have another one waiting in the wings. And there's a lot of times, you know, if you get hired at the base union scale, you're at that base for like 2 years. And then it's like, oh, sorry, that's it. We got another base scaler coming in. It's rough. It is really rough. And the hours are terrible. And, you know, there is no work-life balance in television. Just isn't.
Yeah, not as
in contrast, I'm very happy that what it did for us.
Yeah, not as a talent, but just as a consumer, I noticed the lack of talent in local television. And it affects me. It's like my dad always said, if you give a man two crap sandwiches, he's going to have a favorite. And like, you're going to pick a local station. Like, okay, yes. I'll pick you over you. But I don't think any of them are killing it.
Right. And it's just not there. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
I mean, I would assume these media corporations are bigger than they've ever been. They come in and they buy up little stations.
They're monstrous. Monstrous.
So then it's like, all right, it's all about the bottom line. Yeah, you're right. We don't care about talent. We only care about making as much money as possible. And that hurts people working in the industry and it hurts the consumer.
When we I went through 9 sales of stations in my career.
Wow.
And I remember one of them, and thank goodness I had a general manager who he and I got along great, still do. And the company came in and they just said, okay, give me the salaries of everybody. Boom. Do-do-do. What's this number? Get rid of that number. That number has to go away, which was pointed towards me. And he goes, oh, no, wait a minute. Here's what he brings in. Here's how much he brings into the station. You get rid of him, you're going to lose that. And luckily, he massaged that through.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's like, we don't care. Plug in, plug out.
I remember when radio went to the PPM, to the ratings meters in about 2008 or 2009, and it didn't affect talk as much as far as the approach. But all of our friends in music radio, like Radio Rich was told to not say his name. And they were told, like, you have 15 seconds to talk. That's it.
Yeah.
We want no personality. We don't, like Drew Johnson, they say, we don't even want people to know your name. Just, you're just a voice. And I think that they're kind of coming back now to, like, oh, the reason to listen to KZK over another station is Trish. Or Julie, or you know what I mean? I think they're kind of coming back to that. Like, we always learn our lessons so hard.
Yep. Yeah, also, with the ratings now, you're down to, they can tell you the ratings within, like, 5 seconds. During this 5 seconds, here's what happened. Yeah. And the numbers can change.
Yeah.
Numbers can change.
I've always thought the ratings were crap. When I was number one for 8 years, I thought they were crap. I think they're crap now. And I don't know the lady's name, so I would never dox her if I did. But about 3 years ago, I was emceeing an event at a country club, and I walked out for a break. And a drunk lady said, I know who you are. And she said, I work for the ratings company. She said, we're going to tell each other the truth. And she told me some truths about how they do the ratings that completely justified my opinions the entire time.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah.
And she said, what's your truth? And I said, we care so much less about you than we used to. Because now we have actual numbers, streaming numbers, podcast numbers, actual numbers, not just made up, pulled out of your ass numbers. These are the things you're not supposed to say on the air, but, you know.
That's right. Yeah. Everybody's feeling great now.
Yeah. Oh. Come and get me. Let's do a little weather, Dave.
All right. We're warm through Friday. 85 tomorrow, 83 Thursday, 84, 85 on Friday. Cold front comes in late Friday night into Saturday. It'll be a very slow-moving system. So we're going to see showers and a couple of thunderstorms. At this point, I don't see a lot of severe weather with it, but we have to watch it. It's a long way off. But we should get some decent rain late Friday night and during the day on Saturday, maybe even into Saturday night. That front brings a wind shift to the northwest. We're talking a high of 76 on Saturday and 68 on Sunday. Back to fall as we go through the weekend. But we'll keep a close eye on the shot of thunderstorms. Right now, I think we'll see some storms, but I'm not convinced they're going to be severe.
Okay, very cool. Thank you, Dave.
You got it.
351 DGS.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Bad Bunny may not be playing the Super Bowl halftime after all.
Oh?
Why is that?
There's an online petition with 4,500 signatures seeking to replace Bad Bunny
Lee Greenwood
with George Strait.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I mean,
give it a try.
Hey, I wouldn't be opposed to country music. Again, more of a rotation. You know, maybe one year is country year, and then you got pop year, and then you got R&B year, and then you got rock year, and then you got maybe throwback year. And
makes way too much sense.
I know. It'd be kind of fun, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody gets a little something in the transaction.
Yeah.
I
think that'd be great.
I don't want to be disrespectful to petitions and petitioners and such, because I think that it's important work that is often being done. Not this one, but I think some of them are important. Do they ever work?
What's that?
Petitions.
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Because they're not
Do they
binding.
Ever get the result? Yeah.
It just means these people want you to do this. And then whoever it is looks at it and goes, well, I already said I'm not doing this. Yeah. And then they throw it in the garbage.
And you're not petitioning the government where they represent you. It's a private company that can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, you're petitioning the NFL. Like, there's no legally binding thing to it.
Like, do you really think they're going to be worried? Because it'll be the highest rated thing on television in the calendar year will be the Super Bowl.
Yeah, if 4,500 people sign it in the NFL season, they go, okay, well, what about the other, like, 12 million people who are going to watch this?
The 400 million people that are going to watch it worldwide. I mean, it's probably more than that. I bet 1 billion people watch the Super Bowl.
Probably. They hooked people up to heart monitors and other sorts of medical stuff and had them watch horror movies. And here is the top 10 scariest movies according to science.
According to biology.
According to biology.
All right.
And I believe this is since the turn of the century.
Okay. Since 2000. So the last 25 years.
Yeah. Number 10, Talk to Me. That was pretty scary.
I don't think I saw that one.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
It was scary. Number 9, The Exorcism of Emily Rose was very scary.
I don't think I saw that one either.
Yeah, that one stuck with me. Still does. Smile. I thought that was the dumbest movie.
Didn't see it. It looks too dumb.
The trailer scared me really bad.
It's fun. Yeah. The second one's really fun, too.
It's like, I don't want those people smiling at me.
Number 6, Hereditary.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Number 5, The Conjuring.
That's another good one. I like the original.
Pretty good.
I mean, they're all decent, but the original was the best one.
Number 4, Insidious.
Yep, that was a good one. Mm.
Number 3, Skinamarink, which I've not seen.
I haven't seen that either.
Never even heard of that one.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really, really scary.
Skinamarink is the one where it's just two kids and there's no clear shots of anything. And it's like they're trapped in a house that sort of gets
scary. It's a haunted
house. Gets real spooky.
Good description.
It's intentionally very hard to describe.
Number 2 is Host, which I've not even heard of.
Host? I feel like I've heard of that. I didn't see it. Is that is that a Korean movie?
Well, there's a movie called The Host, which is Bong Joon-ho. It's a monster movie.
Right.
From like 06-ish. It's great, but I don't know if I would necessarily. Yeah, I don't think it's that one.
Number 1, scariest movie according to biology, Sinister. The one with Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I thought you were going to say The Babadook.
That was scary.
That's a scary movie.
What about, it's not, I don't know if it's quite fits these. I guess it didn't fit in there, but Black Phone was pretty good.
I can't wait for Black Phone 2.
There's a Black Phone 2 coming out.
I know. Super and it's getting pretty good ratings from what I understand.
This time it's a cell phone.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.